My favorite refrain when I first talked to, I guess, anybody asking me questions about private foundations is, please don't be afraid of them. I'm not going to go there yet. Well, okay. You all know this, right? Yeah. No, it's like we've got a new tax rate. We're just thrilled. But don't be afraid of private foundations. The rules that apply to them have many exceptions. Some of them are draconian, but they are because there was significant, I guess you'd call it, violations or taking advantage of the rules in the 60s and 50s, and there was something called the Filer Commission, and they spent a whole year or two or three deciding what needed to be stopped. So what we have with 4940 through 4945 are rules to prohibit violations that were occurring. Many of the sanctions, like 4941, you're scared of self-dealing, right? You don't want to have self-dealing. If you have that, there's a pretty good penalty, and it cannot be abated. So you should be aware and afraid a little bit of self-dealing. But they're very specific terms, and they're exceptions that are very useful. And we're not going to talk about that with this topic, but to say it again, please don't be afraid of private foundations. Use them as you need to, but be sure you pay attention to the rules. What we're going to focus on today is taxable expenditures. What can a foundation spend its money on that would cause a penalty to be imposed? Let's see, I included in the materials, went the wrong way, a list of the things that are prohibited, if you will, that will be a taxable expenditure. Those of you that were in this room heard about influencing legislation. Very importantly, you need to know, though, a private foundation can certainly make a grant to even a non-public charity. It's weird. And somebody other than a public charity, as long as the terms of the grant do not say that the money cannot be spent on legislative activity or any kind of attempts to influence legislation. Number two on this slide is that this prohibition applies to all 501c3s. No election interference or participation or whatever is allowed for all 501c3 organizations. We're going to focus on the next couple today, so we'll get to them later. The last thing, number five, is kind of interesting because a private foundation can, I've had a couple in the last couple of years that the foundation supported other civic kind of activities, like the Rotary Club has this thing where they feed children, and somebody's father was in the Rotary Club and wanted to make a grant to support the feeding of the poor children. You say, well, that Rotary Club, that's a C6, 7, I don't even know what it is, really. It's funny, it's not a registered charity you can find in Grant Save. But since the money was to be spent for charitable purposes, it could be done. There'll be some agreements that might be entered into, which Kelly's going to talk about. But again, there's some flexibility with the private foundation rules that I hope you'll gain some new effort to understand and not be afraid of them. We're not going to talk about lobbying. I left this in here in case you didn't go to the session before. These are good slides about what you can do or not. Now, what are we going to focus on? We don't have a clock up here, do we? Okay, well, you help. Oh, there you go. Good. All right. Now, the tax code is written in such a manner that I hear people say a private foundation cannot make grants to individuals. How many of you think that's the rule? Oh, really? Well, maybe we don't need to talk. Sorry.
Maybe the session will be shorter. We'll have a longer
lunch.
Right.
We can go start lunch early. Well, the point is that it can make all kinds of payments to individuals. It depends upon the nature of the activity that would be paid to the individual to conduct. And for certain kinds of specifics, and they are specific and vague. Travel, study. What does that mean? I'm supposed to have my grandson, I'm going to help my grandson go get a grant to take care of his homework? I don't think so. And that's the point, is these things are, prior approval is required for travel, study, or similar purpose grants. And we'll get into the details of what that means. There are a number of examples in the regulations that talk about payments that can be made that might involve individuals, but that are not for study, travel, or similar purpose. The examples include a loan, PRI for charitable purposes to encourage small businesses. An individual is going to go and do consulting in a neighborhood for assisting in renovation in a poor neighborhood, program-related investment for immigrant resettlement, or purchase of furniture for an apartment for a homeless person.